This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine building like a $1 billion total world-changing technology. It's polished, it's tested, and it's basically ready to redefine how thousands of businesses operate.
Right. You just want to ship it.
Exactly. But instead of shipping it to the world, you have to, you know, lock it in a government waiting room and fly your top engineers across the country just to explain how it thinks.
Yeah, it's a massive departure from what we're used to. I mean, we've been conditioned to expect this steady, predictable drip of innovation, you know, a new phone in September, software patch in the spring.
Totally.
But the scale of what we are analyzing today, it just breaks that entire mold.
It completely shatters it because, well, today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2026, and tomorrow the AI industry isn't just releasing a few updates. They are dropping this synchronized avalanche on the market.
It's going to be wild.
Oh, for sure. And our mission on this deep dive is to sort through this massive stack of sources that just hit our desks. We're looking at the simultaneous launch of OpenAI's GPT 5.6, SpaceX AI's massive Grok 4.5 model, and a bombshell report about DeepSeek secretly building custom hardware.
Oh, and we can't forget that real-world deployment data coming out of Japan's MUFG.
Right. So much to cover.
What's fascinating here is the underlying current running through all these sources. Like, this isn't a simple story about faster processors or cheaper subscription tiers anymore.
No, not at all.
When you step back, you see this profound collision. We're watching astronomical AI capabilities slam headfirst into geopolitical walls, government regulations, and just massive corporate consolidation.
Yeah.
Today is really about understanding the invisible forces that are deciding what you as the user are actually allowed to do with this tech when it finally reaches your hands.
So let's jump straight into the biggest headline hitting the public tomorrow, July 9. The world finally gets access to what they're calling the GPT 5.6 brothers.
Yeah, the three siblings.
Right. OpenAI is rolling out three distinct models simultaneously. So that's Sol, Terra, and Luna.
Which is, you know, a very deliberate segmentation of the market. They're breaking down the cost of intelligence into highly specific tiers.
And the pricing structure is where you really see the mechanics of how these models operate. So they price these by the million tokens, which you can just think of as the volume of text or data the AI has to process.
Right, the raw volume.
Yeah. So the heavy hitter is Sol, and that's priced at $5 for input and $30 for output. Then there's Terra sitting in the middle at $2.50 in, $15 out. And finally, Luna, the lightweight model, at just $1 in and $6 out.
Let's actually break down why there's such a massive gap between the input cost and the output cost there.
Yeah, it's pretty steep.
It is. So when you feed a document into the model, the input, it's essentially just reading and categorizing. It's computationally cheap. But the output, you know, when the AI has to generate original text, reason through a complex problem, or write code, it requires the model to actively fire up billions of parameters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that takes massive amounts of electricity and compute power, hence that huge markup.
Okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But looking at the gap between the three models, I want to use an analogy here to see if I'm grasping the strategy.
Let's hear it.
It feels like having the choice between a massive luxury supercar, a highly efficient hybrid sedan, and like a reliable commuter bike, all just parked in your driveway.
Okay, I like that.
Right, because you wouldn't use a luxury supercar just to go pick up a single carton of milk. That's what Luna's for. Quick, simple tasks.
Exactly.
Selene's for when you need to, I don't know, move a house. The Terra, the hybrid, that really seems to be where they're placing their bets.
That is the exact strategy. Terra is definitely the model to watch tomorrow. I mean, the company is explicitly stating that Terra gives you similar performance to the previous generation, GPT 5.5, but at exactly half the price.
Half the price. That's huge.
It creates massive deflationary pressure on the cost of doing business. They want developers to just default to Terra for everyday heavy lifting and really only save Sol for the most complex multi-step reasoning problems.
But, you know, there is this huge caveat to this launch that really stood out in our sources.
The delay?
Yes, the delay. These three models are going public tomorrow, but they were actually finished and ready to go back on June 26.
Yeah, they were ready weeks ago.
Right. They rolled them out as a preview to a highly restricted group of partners while the rest of the world was basically locked out.
And the mechanism behind that delay is perhaps the most important shift in the industry this entire year.
Exactly. And just to be super clear with you all listening, we're strictly looking at the factual market impact detailed in our sources here. We're just reporting what happened neutrally.
Right. No sides being taken here.
None at all. So the delay stems from President Trump's AI cybersecurity executive order, This mandate dictates that any frontier model, meaning the absolute most advanced, powerful AI systems, must be submitted to the government 30 days prior to a public release.
Which completely changes the entire life cycle of software development.
It really does.
I mean, the Commerce Department's AI Standards Center didn't just take OpenAI's word for it. They conducted their own intensive testing.
And it actually caused a bottleneck, right?
Yeah, a massive one. It reached a point where OpenAI had to physically send their tech experts down to Washington to resolve the government's concerns and just try to speed up the approval process.
Wow.
You know, you just can't push a button and launch anymore.
I was reading the commentary in our sources provided by lawyer Kungjin Kim, and he perfectly encapsulates what this means for the industry.
Oh, his analysis was spot on.
Yeah, he notes that we're transitioning from an era of release when ready to an era of release when permitted.
It's a really profound observation. I mean, lawyer Kungjin Kim points out that with the AI Basic Act Enforcement Decree coming into effect on July 21, regulation is no longer just an afterthought or some minor hurdle.
Right, it's the main event.
Exactly. It's the ultimate variable dictating the speed of innovation. You could possess the most advanced neural network on the planet, but if its inner workings don't satisfy the Commerce Department's Standards Center, it simply does not exist for the consumer.
That's crazy to think about.
The bottleneck is no longer how many chips you have, it's how quickly you can achieve compliance.
But while OpenAI engineers were sitting in Washington waiting rooms navigating all that red tape, their biggest rival was totally capitalizing on the delay.
Oh, they definitely were.
Because tomorrow isn't just about GPT 5.6. SpaceX AI, which, you know, we used to know as XAI, is launching Grok 4.5.
Mm.
And the corporate maneuvering behind this is staggering.
It really is.
They agreed to acquire the coding tool Cursor for $60 billion just before this launch.
$60 billion? I mean, that represents a tectonic shift in consolidation.
It's an insane amount of money.
Truly. You have a frontier model developer buying a highly specialized, deeply entrenched coding interface, basically bringing the brain and the tools all under one roof.
And they want the market to know this isn't just an iterative patch to the old Grok. They trained Grok 4.5 completely from scratch.
From the ground up.
Yeah, we're talking 1.5 trillion parameters.
Yeah.
Trained on their massive Colossus compute cluster. And they've been testing it in real-world, high-stress environments across SpaceX and Tesla.
Right.
The claim is that it achieves Opus-level performance, so, you know, top-tier, state-of-the-art capability, but faster and cheaper. But here's the detail I really want to challenge.
Okay, let's hear it.
They are specifically aiming this model at legal, finance, and coding tasks.
They're going straight after the most complex, highly regulated professions in the global economy.
And that's exactly where I have a hard time buying into their strategy. I mean, I completely understand the coding aspect.
Yeah.
You buy Cursor for $60 billion, you integrate Grok, you have a coding powerhouse. But you're taking a model born from the culture of SpaceX and Tesla. That is a culture of moving incredibly fast, iterating on the fly, testing rocket telemetry and autonomous driving where things occasionally crash, and you just learn from the debris.
Right, the classic Silicon Valley mindset.
Exactly. But now, they're pointing that exact same cultural DNA directly at the nuance of a courtroom or like a corporate merger.
Mm.
I just don't see how a model built on move fast and break things can handle the absolute unforgiving precision required in law and finance.
Well, you're hitting on the exact friction point that former lawmaker Kungjin Kim highlights in his analysis of this launch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He warns that because Grok 4.5 is squarely targeting law and finance, the industry is entering incredibly dangerous territory. I mean, the tools are getting undeniably smarter, but the liability risks are scaling exponentially right alongside them.
Because in law, if a contract is almost right, it's entirely wrong. You can't just patch a lawsuit.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim emphasizes that without strict formalized verification procedures, and he specifically lists rigorous confidentiality checks, source verification, and independent citation reviews, the sheer convenience of this AI is a trap.
A huge trap.
Right. If a financial analyst uses a model that prioritizes generation speed over absolute statutory accuracy, the fallout isn't just a bad line of code, it's financial ruin or malpractice.
Oh, wow. But, you know, running a massive 1.5 trillion parameter model like Grok for tens of thousands of lawyers, or processing the inputs for all those GPT 5.6 tiers, it isn't just a software challenge.
Not at all.
It requires a physical infrastructure that is almost hard to comprehend.
You need oceans of silicon. The entire ecosystem relies on advanced microchips.
Which begs the question, If you're a major AI developer, what do you do when you are locked out of the global hardware supply chain?
You have to get creative.
Right. And that brings us to a massive scoop from Reuters today. DeepSeek, one of the premier AI developers, is secretly building its own AI inference chip.
This is huge.
It is. The immediate goal is to drastically reduce their reliance on NVIDIA, whose stock actually took a hit after this news broke, and their reliance on Huawei. According to the reports, DeepSeek has been in quiet talks with foundries and memory companies for a year, silently hiring up chip design staff.
We should probably clarify what an inference chip is here, because it really explains DeepSeek's entire strategy.
Yeah, please do.
So in AI, you have two main phases. First is the training phase, which is the incredibly energy-intensive process of teaching the model, feeding it trillions of words over months.
The heavy lifting.
Exactly. But once it's fully trained, you enter the inference phase. Inference is the day-to-day operation. It's when the model is actually out in the real world, answering your prompts, generating code, making live decisions.
Okay, so inference is the actual application of the intelligence.
Exactly. And DeepSeek is targeting the inference stage because that's where the sheer volume lies. If millions of people are querying your model every day, you need massive, highly efficient inference capabilities just to keep the lights on. But they're stepping into a minefield here. Domestically, Huawei currently controls about half of China's $50 billion AI chip market.
A 50% market share is a massive stranglehold to try and break.
It really is. But DeepSeek is trying to disrupt that domestic monopoly while simultaneously dodging massive international roadblocks.
Right, the sanctions.
Yeah. The U.S. has placed heavy blocks on Chinese firms accessing cutting-edge foreign foundries to actually manufacture the silicon. And on top of that, they've restricted the export of high-bandwidth memory, or HBM, which is absolutely critical.
Can you explain HBM a bit? Like, why is that specific type of memory the bottleneck?
Sure. Think of the processor chip as a world-class chef, and the high-bandwidth memory is the kitchen counter space.
Okay, I like this.
You can have the fastest, most capable chef in the world, but if they only have a cutting board the size of a postage stamp to work on, dinner is going to be late.
Right, they can't prep anything.
Exactly. HBM allows the AI chip to access massive amounts of data instantaneously, which is required for a model with a trillion parameters to generate an answer without just freezing up.
So DeepSeek is fighting a two-front war. They have to design the chef and build the kitchen counter themselves, all while being blocked from the usual suppliers.
Which reveals a fascinating dynamic about global tech development right now. Let's bring back the insight from lawyer Kungjin Kim.
Yeah, what does he say about this?
He looks at this situation and calls it the paradox of control.
How does that paradox play out here?
Well, lawyer Kungjin Kim analyzes the sanctions and points out that heavily restricting access to advanced chips hasn't necessarily stopped development, it's just fundamentally altered its trajectory.
Meaning what exactly?
It has accelerated China's drive toward complete vertical integration. Because DeepSeek cannot rely on the open global market to buy what they need, they are being forced to own their entire supply chain, from the very top layer of software architecture all the way down to the bare silicon.
Wow. They are building the entire stack out of pure necessity.
Yep.
It's like if you block a delivery route, the trucks don't just stop driving.
Yeah.
The company just goes out and paves a brand new private highway.
That's exactly it.
And if they succeed, they own that highway forever.
That is the exact risk of the paradox. It's an unintended acceleration of self-reliance, and it shows how geopolitical hardware wars are physically reshaping the architecture of the technology itself.
Okay, so let's pull this down from the high-level geopolitics of silicon and billion-dollar corporate acquisitions and look at the actual desk of a worker.
The real-world impact.
Exactly. How is this frontier technology actually being deployed by everyday people right now?
That is where the case study on MUFG comes in. It is a total masterclass in what practical AI deployment looks like at scale.
Yeah, MUFG is Japan's largest financial group. We're talking about a massive, traditionally very conservative institution.
Right.
And the sources detail how they just rolled out ChatGPT Enterprise to about 35,000 employees.
35,000.
Yeah. And what's incredible to me is what the staff did with it. In just 4 months, those employees built 1,800 custom GPTs.
And remember, these aren't generic chatbots built by the IT department.
No, not at all.
These are highly specific, specialized tools built by the end users themselves to solve their own daily bottlenecks.
Right. They built GPTs for incredibly niche tasks, like tracking specific AI trends in their sector or formatting really dense executive reports.
Tedious stuff.
Exactly. And the result of these 1,800 custom tools, MUFG saw a 20 to 30% reduction in workload.
That is staggering.
It's hours of human capital freed up every single week across tens of thousands of employees.
It's a massive productivity unlock. But, you know, MUFG isn't just looking inward. They are taking this foundational capability and pushing it directly to the consumer.
Yes. The sources say they're launching a fully AI-driven digital bank next year. But the part that really caught my attention is what they're doing in Taiwan.
Oh, the Messenger app integration.
Yeah. They're launching a concierge service entirely via Messenger apps, specifically the Line app. They're bypassing the traditional clunky banking app completely.
Wow.
You won't have to download the MUFG app to check your balance or move money. You'll just chat with their AI inside a Messenger window you already use to talk to your friends.
It makes the technology completely frictionless. Yeah. You aren't navigating some database interface. You're simply having a conversation with your bank.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you're listening to this and wondering how MUFG achieved that 20 to 30% workload reduction internally, the sources actually provide a very clear 4-step blueprint.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, this is the exact method those MUFG employees use to build those tools.
Okay, let's role play this a bit so people can see exactly how to apply it today. Say I work at MUFG, and one of my most tedious jobs is reading 50 non-disclosure agreements a week just to find and summarize the indemnity clauses.
A classic tedious task.
Right. How do I use this 4-step process?
Step one, you make the target small and clear. You do not ask the AI to do my job as a legal assistant.
Because it'll just fail.
Exactly. You isolate the highly repetitive task. So in your case, extracting and summarizing indemnity clauses.
Okay, small target. What's step two?
Step two is all about context. You can't just tell it what to do. You have to show it. You need to input 3 clear examples of the raw input and your exact desired output to create a dedicated custom GPT or a Claude project.
Real quick, what exactly is a Claude project in this context?
Right. So a Claude project or a custom GPT is simply a specialized workspace where you can upload documents and give the AI permanent instructions that it remembers every single time you use it.
Oh.
So you would upload 3 past NDAs and then upload the 3 perfect summaries you personally wrote for them. You are basically teaching the model the exact format and tone of what success looks like for you.
Got it. I isolate the task. I give it 3 perfect examples in a dedicated workspace. What is step 3?
Step 3 is team iteration. You don't build this tool in a vacuum. You share that specific workspace with your colleagues who do the exact same job.
Okay, so a group effort.
Yeah, you let them feed it NDAs, find where the AI gets confused, and refine the instructions together based on its mistakes.
That makes total sense. It's a collaborative refinement. And the final step?
The 4th step is the most critical rule of all, and it requires tweaking the system prompt.
The system prompt?
Yeah, the system prompt is the invisible set of core instructions the AI must follow before it even says hello. You must explicitly instruct the AI in that system prompt to cite its sources and statutory grounds for every single claim it makes.
Ah, which brings us right back to the danger zone we were talking about earlier with Croc.
Exactly. This loops us perfectly back to former lawmaker Kung Jin Kim's warning about deploying AI in law and finance.
Right.
You can build this incredible tool that reads 50 NDAs in 10 seconds, but one hallucinated legal citation or one confidently stated but unverified clause in your summary.
It's game over.
Yeah, it can cost your firm client trust permanently. Or trigger a massive lawsuit.
So the real takeaway here is that you absolutely should trust the AI to do the heavy lifting to eliminate that 20 to 30% of repetitive grunt work. But you have to personally verify every single inch of its output.
Yes.
You are the final filter.
Because when the executive report goes out with a fabricated number, the AI doesn't get fired. You do.
Oof. That is the reality check we all need. Well, looking at the time, we really need to wrap up this deep dive.
We covered a lot today.
We covered a staggering amount of ground. We started with a tightly regulated government rollout of the GPT 5.6 brothers happening tomorrow and that massive shift toward release when permitted.
Yep.
We debated the $60 billion ambition behind SpaceX AI's Grok 4.5 and the inherent risks of pushing a move-fast culture into high-stakes professions.
A huge risk.
And we explored the geopolitical chess match, forcing DeepSeek to build their own inference chips from scratch. And finally, we walked through the exact four-step framework you can use to safely deploy these tools at work, just like MUFG did.
It is an entirely new landscape. I mean, the regulatory barriers to entry are thicker than ever. The hardware supply chains are fracturing globally. And yet, the practical, everyday applications for you and me have never been more accessible.
It's a wild contrast. But before we sign off, we want to leave you with something to really think about. We talked at the very beginning about how we're entering this era where massive AI capabilities are colliding with strict government regulation and real-world consumer deployment.
Which brings up a scenario that perfectly merges all the sources we analyzed today.
Exactly. Think about this. We now know that frontier models require government approval from the AI Standards Center before they can be released to the public. And we know that massive banks like MUFG are actively rushing to deploy these incredibly capable models to autonomously handle your personal finances and your legal disputes right inside everyday platforms like the Line Messenger app.
So if we are firmly in this era of release when permitted, where the government has given a frontier model its official seal of approval,
who is ultimately responsible when that highly capable government-vetted AI makes a perfectly logical yet entirely disastrous financial decision with your life savings?
That's the million-dollar question.
Is the developer liable for building the architecture? Is the government at fault for officially testing and approving it? Is the bank responsible for deploying it on a chat app without human oversight? Or does the ultimate blame fall on you for trusting the machine in the first place?
When the technology is this deeply integrated into our lives and vetted by so many layers of authority, accountability might be the hardest thing to find.
It is a brave new world. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the information around you. Always verify those citations. And we will see you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.